This is Artist Stories, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. I'm your host, Ava Romero. Today, I'm with muralist Isaac Caruso. Welcome, Isaac.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Isaac, tell us about the Sam and Sarah project. Explain to us what it is and how it came to be.
All right, so Sam and Sarah is a children's book that I conceived about 10 years ago, and I wanted to make the first children's book illustrated with murals. Last summer, I came to Tucson from Phoenix to work on the PAG project with the Arts Foundation for Tucson in Southern Arizona. And I'd work with them and my mural students in the morning, but I really didn't have anything to do like the rest of the day. And I knew no one in Tucson, so I was just like, what am I going to do? Then I had the idea of like actually making this project that I wanted to make come to fruition for years a reality. So I decided to seize that opportunity and really flesh out the story and create sketches of the illustrations, or in this case, they're also murals for the book. And it was an amazingly rewarding opportunity to create like this magnum opus. You know, I'd sit down at my dinner table sweating because this little casita I was in, it was just only had a swamp cooler in it. But by the end of the summer, I had everything composed and copyrighted. And since then, I've just been in contact with local governments all across Arizona. I'm just focusing on our state for the locations to do these murals.
How many different pages or murals do you have at this point?
I've completed 19 so far. 44 is the amount of murals I'm doing for this book. But honestly, working with this copy editor who's really awesome, his name is Max Shamley. He's actually an old college friend of mine, and he lives in Tucson now. And as we kind of edit it, it's starting to grow, so it might be as much as 50. Either way, I'm more than a third done, so that's cool.
I can't believe that you're editing it down to longer.
I know. It's just such a fun project. There's so many creative avenues to go down with it that it's hard to tell everything in one volume. Actually, officially, the name of this project is Sam and Sarah Volume 1.
Can you tell us, just in a nutshell, what the story is about?
It's about a young girl born in Phoenix who has a wild imagination, and she's always daydreaming. And some people are kind of like, hey, you got to pay attention, or you got to be with us. But she's just off in the clouds, and she loves it. And one day, she's daydreaming so hard that she just blinks out of existence, and she goes into the figment world, which is where every idea that ever has existed or could be thought of exists. And she likes it there so much, she decides to stay, and she has a daughter. And this daughter's name is Sarah, and Sarah comes to our world on an adventure to kind of explore where her mom is from and kind of her roots.
When you first came up with this idea, did you already envisioned that these murals would be all over the state?
I think originally I thought the whole world, but then I just kind of did some logistics and thought, nah, just let's focus on Arizona for right now. And that also kind of informed the narrative of the book. And I kind of got to focus on like what I'm familiar with, which is our state from Southern Arizona to Central to Northern. And I think that's kind of made it more of a dynamic and interesting project, just that I've been focusing on Arizona.
Even besides just being a really great artistic project on its own, it also has kind of this, you know, side effect, if you will, of being able to be a draw to tourism in certain places that might not get a lot of visitors otherwise.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I've been invited to paint on the sides of town halls and restaurants and art buildings. I even did one inside a public library. I've been to Phoenix, Black Canyon City, Camp Verde, Tubac, Florence, Cottonwood, Queen Valley, Miami, Ajo, Sierra Vista, Flagstaff, Globe, Payson, and the next one's in Tempe, and I might even be forgetting a few. But I really like that it gives people an opportunity and a reason to get out there and explore and look for these murals. I mean, already people are looking for them, which is hugely rewarding and validating. And I think kind of an unintended side effect is that people go to these small towns and they go on a mural hunt, but they also buy gas or they get some lunch or they stay the night. And that's kind of helping these smaller towns that have been kind of, you know, affected with the COVID-19 depression.
Can you tell us a little bit about what it's like to travel around to all of these different towns, painting a mural? Like, what was that first trip like for you?
So much fun. So I have a Nissan NV200 van, 2015 model. And it's definitely not the biggest van, but I've learned that you can definitely sleep in it, plus carry all your supplies. So, you know, I've got my roof rack where I put my ladders, and I have my Coleman grill where I cook my food. And I have a refrigerator that plugs up to my car battery where I keep my food. And then the room for my spray paint, which is like 50 cans plus some, you know, acrylic house paint that I carry with me at any given time. Sleeping in it's a little claustrophobic, but I don't mind it. And then I get to wake up in these kind of remote, interesting locations. Like the first one I did was Black Canyon City, like that. And it just felt like I was on this crazy adventure. Just like felt so intrepid. And people come up to you and ask you what you're doing. And everyone I tell kind of the general premise of this concept gets really excited. So that makes me feel good. And, you know, I get to leave my mark all across the state, which is just kind of an oddly satisfying feeling. So,
I mean, it dates back to cave dwellings and mark making. Right? Yeah.
I think we kind of need to validate that, like, we exist in the real world by making something physical.
So we cannot leave your partner out of this equation.
Right. So I got my co-captain, Gustavo. He's a three-year-old bull terrier rescue that I got from the pet rescue in Phoenix. He's super dope. He watches me paint. He's the creative director. I'm just the guy with the thumbs working the spray cans, but really he's the brains behind the operation. So
when people come up to you, who do they talk to first?
Oh, Gustavo, every time. It's like he's the best PR because like I can just do my thing and either they're like, oh, he's a scary dog, so they just let me paint, or they're like, he's so cute, and they just start loving on him and I can continue painting. So he's a good little buffer.
Okay, speaking from the perspective of somebody who has owned some very difficult dogs, do you ever have like trouble where he like goes haywire or runs around where he shouldn't or like gets loose or anything like that?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, he's a bull terrier, so he's high energy. But the cool thing is, like, I'm self-employed and I can pretty much take him to work whenever I want. So he gets to go out and be outside a lot. And that way he's very well socialized with humans and other animals. And he knows when he can go crazy in like a public park in Ajo and just run around and, you know, chase squirrels or play fetch. And he knows when just kind of like hang out, you know. I make him like a little bed with, you know, blanket and some dog toys and he just chills. So I got to say, all in all, he's not too bad. It's pretty good.
Could you tell us how you're funding this project? It's really a massive project with so many expenses involved.
So pretty much mostly self-funded. I've just been stowing away every cent that I make extra off my regular mural gigs to fund this project. And about 2 months ago, I created a Patreon, and that's been helpful. I have like around 30 backers, and each of them pay me $5 a month to create more murals for this project. And that just helps with, you know, travel and supply expenses. And then in exchange, I'm making a special thank you mural that'll be a page in the book with every backer's name on it. So that's kind of like my sincere, deep, grateful thank you to them. And if anyone listening would be interested in becoming a patron, you can go to patreon.com/SamAndSarah.
And also just kind of testament to anybody who has a really big dream that they want to fulfill. You know, it's feasible to start funding it little by little yourself. And there are also mechanisms to bring others along for the ride. So that's really interesting.
Thanks. Yeah, that's the beauty of the digital age. You know, I have a YouTube channel where people can kind of come with me to every single city I visit. You know, I do a webisode based on, say, Tubac or Ajo or Camp Verde or Globe. That way they can kind of get a sense of the town. Maybe they just want to travel there to get away for one weekend, and I can kind of inform them about that. But also they can get to see the process of creating a mural, which is really interesting to people. They can also go on my Instagram at isaac.caruso to see me work, follow the journey. And, you know, this has helped me gain more of a following and Also just increase the amount of my regular mural gigs, which is not bad.
Could you tell us about an Arizona community that really left an impression on you, Isaac?
I really fell in love with Ajo. It's like a quintessential small desert town. You know, it's got tons of natural beauty and lots of history from the Tohono O'odham that, you know, gave it its name to, and that's a whole story. Like, I thought it was Spanish for garlic, but then I was like, there's no garlic fields. Well, I don't know. I explained that a little bit in the webisode. It's a very beautiful, very artistic community. When I was painting a mural page there, I was camping next to my job site, which is like just this old warehouse. And I met a lot of fellow travelers from like all across the country who felt compelled to visit Ajo for kind of the same reasons, because it was remote, because it was textured, because it was interesting. And I guess like my love for exploration and travel and art, it felt really validated there. So I got to say, if you haven't been to Ajo, definitely visit it. They have a full-fledged mural alley. They have a lot of gorgeous public art there. You know, I had this Facebook poll that I made recently in regards to COVID about how important people think artists are to an economy. Because I saw an article that said the general public rates artists as one of the most expendable, least important occupations. And I get that, but when you really look at it, what people are drawn to and what they consider necessary is something creative and enjoyable. And when, you know, practical economies like mining are gone, what else is there to do besides create something, you know, beautiful? And then people will naturally come to that.
Not to mention the concept that art exists in some silo where it doesn't touch anything else is really misled. Art is a part of design in any number of situations. And if you can't think creatively, you can't create a piece of technology. And that's why I think it's so important to insist on talking about STEAM instead of STEM, putting the arts back in technology, engineering, etc. Because really, if without that, you don't have creation. You can't have technological creation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know it's not biologically correct to label it this way, but the left brain, shall we call it, it's super important to any type of innovation. And I mean, like these times right now when everyone's generally pretty strapped for cash and, you know, things aren't on the up and up economically, the fact that people are traveling across the state to go check out these murals, you know, it's just kind of like a sobering reminder of what the human condition is. You know, we define our culture with our creative outlets, and people will desperately seek them so that they can just enjoy their own life. And especially during these crappy times.
How many people have I had on the show where I asked them about how they're using art to cope, or how they are, what this kind of new meaning of art in their lives has become, or how they're embarking on a new project to use art to bring people together so that they can communicate with each other and feel a part of each other's lives again. And I just hear that over and over and over again. So I would argue that art is almost more essential now than it was pre-COVID.
Exactly. We're totally on the same page there.
In terms of the Sam and Sarah project, have you witnessed new meanings that it has now that you didn't foresee? Because when you first kind of started to germinate the idea, that was pre-COVID.
Yes, I have. Well, I mean, from a personal exploration standpoint, I really found out why I like doing this is because I like to connect with people. And studio artists are amazing what they do. But I think one thing that distinguishes some public artists from them is like, we really want it to be in the public landscape. We want it to be completely conspicuous and you can't look away from it, because I guess it gives us a sense of validation. And it also lets us know that like, we are connecting with other humans. And that's something that I have to do in order to be happy. You know what I mean? So I found that out about myself. Also, there's just like a whole bunch of unintended side effects, like I mentioned, like people going to visit these small towns, and, you know, who knew we'd be in a pandemic right now, but I feel good that like I'm maybe attracting some attention to like these neglected sometimes communities.
And what a better place to go right now, right? Like, exactly. If I want to just get out of my house and go someplace, I'm actually looking for someplace that's off the beaten path, that's a little bit, you know, less densely populated, where I don't have to worry about social distancing.
Exactly. You know, don't go to the Getty in New York. Go to Sierra Vista's Public Library.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Isaac, could you tell us, you know, speaking of this great state of Arizona, you were not from Tucson originally, but Tucson is your home base now. Could you tell us a little bit about where you're from originally and how you ended up making Tucson your home base?
I'm from Phoenix, and I grew up making so much fun of Tucson. Like, because I just didn't know. I'm pretty sure I came down here for a concert once in high school, and then it was just like that sibling rivalry, right? When I got the PAG project last summer, you know, I was excited to get a taste of the terroir here, but I had absolutely no intentions of staying. But, you know, I really fell in love with the place. You know, I met a beautiful girl who cooks me meals on the road, and I made some awesome friends who are helping me with the projects. One person is doing all the scoring for the episodes, really talented musician named Chris Montgomery. One person is helping me edit the story. And I found like this really interesting, dusty, bohemian arts community that, like, I mean, I wouldn't rather call any other place home base in Arizona right now besides Tucson, to be honest with you.
That's really awesome and heartwarming to hear that from someone who's been pretty much programmed to despise Tucson from a young age.
Exactly. Conditioned. It was like a Pavlovian response. Also, the summer here is a lot more bearable than it is in the valley. I mean, even though it's a little bit cooler by a few degrees, like, I mean, that's an extra hour you can stay outside painting.
Tucsonans, of course, we like to complain about the heat and have been complaining about it for months. But all it takes is just a little visit to Phoenix to remember that it could be worse.
Exactly. I got to back up, though, real quick before everyone in Phoenix comes looking for me. Phoenix is still my home, and it's amazing, and it has so many incredible cultural amenities, and I love it too. I'm just saying, I found out that Tucson is certainly dope.
And I am about to ask you a question that will allow you to sing some praises to your hometown of
Phoenix. Thank goodness.
Isaac, could you tell us about how you became a muralist?
Okay, not to throw you for a loop, but like, my first passion in life was ice hockey. So yeah, the artist from Phoenix, loved ice hockey, still do. Yeah, sports was definitely like my first passion, and art and writing was always like this weird thing I did on the side. But I remember when I found out about graffiti, and it was like the summer in between, you know, junior high and high school. I remember just going into the drainage ditches and the washes that we have all around North Phoenix and watching this dude paint a piece. And I just loved how like dangerous it seemed, and same kind of thrill and physical endorphin release as like hockey. And eventually graffiti just took over my life, especially after high school. But I did manage to get a degree in graphic design. I actually had trouble kind of like staying out all night and doing graffiti. So I guess I put that on the back burner for like maybe the best part about 4 years. But I got the degree. And then once I graduated, I was like, I miss this so much. I went out painting twice as hard. When I was around 23, I actually got arrested for it. And that was when I was in Tempe. So the interesting thing about that was I was actually working on a public arts commission for the city of Tempe at the time. And the arts coordinator, it's a really brilliant gal. I guess the officer contacted her because he figured it out. And she called me up and she said, okay, Isaac, look, you can either try to be Banksy or you can do public art. You can't do both. And I was like, I'll do public art, please. Just let me do that. And so that's kind of my trajectory ever since. You know, while I was started to get more and more into the grants application process and becoming a bit more successful at that, I was also doing graphic design as my day job. And I became a part owner of this really amazing website and technology firm in Phoenix called Firesight that I was a partner at with just some of my friends. And I did that, you know, just grinding out mural gigs for like a number of years. About 3.5 years ago, I applied for this grant with the National Endowment for the Arts, which was like the biggest mural grants I've ever seen happen in Phoenix. And I was up against all like the best artists and muralists in Phoenix. So I worked really hard on the proposal and I won. And then I decided to sell my shares of Firesight and pursue this full time. And that's what I've been doing ever since.
Isaac, could you also tell us about how you started going international? Because I understand that you have murals in a couple other countries as well.
In between college graduation and when I got arrested, I was really into graffiti and I wanted to go all across the world doing it. A friend of mine owned a hostel and they explained to me that I could probably get free room and board in exchange for a mural, the same way you get free room and board at any hostel. It's like you work in exchange for that. So I went onto hostelmanager.com and I encourage all aspiring muralists to do this. Go on hostelmanager.com and say, I will come to your hostel and I will paint you a mural in exchange for a place to be. And so I didn't know what to expect, but I got hits all up and down the West Coast. And I went to those and I painted and it was a lot of fun. But then also rather unexpectedly, I got one in Montevideo, Uruguay. So I went there and I painted. And South American mural culture, and any graffiti writer or muralist will tell you this, is the best in the world. And they also don't care at all about what you paint on. So you can just paint on anything. I mean, as long as you're good. That was the most like liberating, free experience of my young 20s. I thought it was amazing. And I just wanted to keep doing that. And I think that's kind of inspired the Sam and Sarah project, is like that travel bug that I probably will never get rid of. And then, yeah, I mean, I painted in Moscow last year. I also went on an artist residency through the Arctic the year before that with this amazing organization called the ArcticCircle.org. We sailed around on a tall ship for 2 weeks through the Arctic around Svalbard. And yeah, I mean, it's great going to another culture and being able to connect with people through the language of visual communication, which is just innately human.
Isaac, you kind of talked about this a little bit, but do you have any other advice that you would give to emergent artists or emergent muralists?
One thing I would say is don't worry too much about making a style. That's going to come naturally to you. And that's something that will drive you insane. The beginning of your artist path, doesn't matter what your discipline is. You might be more self-conscious about it, like doing that in the public arena too, as a muralist, but like just paint how you feel. And it doesn't matter if your pieces look cohesive at all in the beginning. It can look like they're all from completely different artists because you're just trying to figure out your vibe and what you want to say. So as an artist, don't make a box for yourself. Just explore and have fun. Don't take yourself too seriously, which is hard to do. But like, just remember, like murals, it's a very Buddhist practice. It doesn't matter where it's at or what you paint it with. In 50 years, it's going to be gone. Just keep that in mind. Have fun, no matter what. Just have fun.
Isaac, is there anything else that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I guess the only other thing I'd like to share is if you're interested in learning more about this project, go to samandsarah.org. That's where I have the entire story and a promo video and the sketches of what I'll be doing. You can also go to my YouTube channel, search for Isaac Caruso, my Instagram at isaac.caruso. If you want to help fund this project and get your name in a published book, go to patreon.com/samandsarah. And lastly, I still have a few available sketches for this book. So if you're interested in having me come and paint a mural, I'll donate it entirely. We just need an agreement that, you know, it'll be up for at least 5 years. You can check out the available sketches again at samandsarah.org.
Isaac, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you. I had a blast.
This has been Artist Stories with Ava Romero, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. To listen to the full-length podcast, visit kxci.org. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. Support for Artist Stories is provided by Benjamin Supply, presenting a full spectrum of hardware and plumbing fixtures for kitchen and bath, and their gallery, Tucson, offering national and local art in both the Tucson Warehouse and Transfer Buildings on 6th Street and 7th Avenue. With products available at Will Call, they are currently open by phone at 777-7000 and at benjaminsupply.com or gallery2sun.com.